Yes, one answer, a big one. Welcome to episode 22, or if I was a bingo caller, two little ducks. You're listening to the Johnny and Josh Show. What a great pleasure it is to have your company. Now, for those of you who love your numerology, 22 is sometimes called the master builder. It's considered to be the most powerful number of all, which is ironic because we've lost JC, who is, let's face it, the grunt, the engine room of the Johnny and Josh Show. But thankfully, I've still got the boys with me, Eric the producer and Big Davey Lingirl. Hi, boys.
Did we just lose half the audience? Is that it? They're gone?
Well, now that they've heard that Josh isn't on, but...
Where's Josh?
Well, latest, I think he's pursuing the Olympic dream, isn't he, Eric?
He's
mentioned this a few times. You're telling me right now, if he wins whatever it is to hell he's doing over there, who God knows what, are you telling me that he goes in one of those awful Ralph Lauren suits, goes to an opening ceremony in Beijing and participates in the Olympics?
He
gets into the qualifiers for the Olympics.
Right now he's in a qualifier for the qualifiers.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
So is this like minus fifth round FA Cup?
Yeah. In baseball terms, he's still in single A. He's still scrapping for the big show.
I understand. That's great. Good for him. When you get to the qualifying, we'll talk a little bit more.
But the good thing is, if he does go to Beijing for the Winter Olympics and represents Team USA in curling, it won't interrupt the podcast schedule because it'll still be the off-season of baseball.
Thank goodness.
There you go.
And then he can go to Beijing and he can be a spy. The catcher was a spy. You guys know that book? Eric knows that book.
Of course we do. It's John Le Carré.
No. The catcher was a spy. Mo Berg. You don't know that story? Mo Berg, who played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, he was a spy. He went on a Far East tour in Japan before World War II, and he was a spy. And now JC, a former catcher, if he finds his way into the Olympics, he can go over to Beijing, he can spy.
Well, okay. You just blew his cover. Well done.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean it.
What's an already waffle going, call, baby? That's already waffle. First one.
Eat that waffle.
You're in trouble. Let's move on.
Dave, I haven't even done my biblical reference. God created 22 things in the 6 days of creation. I just threw that out for you, and I haven't even had a chance to do it. So let's focus on the notable 22s. There's only one retired number, 22, and that, of course, was Jim Palmer from the mighty Orioles.
That's right. And, of course, what could happen, until we find out if he'll go to the Hall of Fame or not, is that Roger Clemens wore 22 for the Yankees and the Astros, while he wore 21 for the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, as we noted in episode 21. So will that be retired? But there's also other current players wearing 22, Johnny.
Well, all I can tell you is there is the other possibility of a retired 22 is a certain Mr. Clayton Kershaw. Will he be a Hall of Famer?
No doubt. And I'm sure that it'll be the number 22 retired in Dodger Stadium once that happens, but he still has another few years left.
If he can get off the injured list, that'll be welcome.
I've been trying to check out the other active 22 wearers in the major leagues right now. The only two I've got for you guys, Andrew McCutchen, wears 22. Jason Heyward, wears 22. Neither of whom are Hall of Fame standards, so we won't be seeing those two numbers retired. But what's a more important number is the fact that we are up to 2,198 followers on Twitter. There's a number to remember. 2,198, boys. That's fantastic.
That's my bar tab at the club.
It would be more poetic if it was 2,222.
It would indeed. It would have been more poetic, more appropriate. But tragically, life doesn't work that way, Eric. This is a real show. Talking of which, COVID update. Allegedly. Anything happening?
COVID update, well, you know, the Canadian, as far as we know around the league, there's been the odd positive test here that I'm isolating. I believe it's Dane Dunning of the Texas Rangers. But as far as the Canadian border is concerned, the Canadian border is still open. Now, here's the thing. There are some stats, Johnny, for how many Canadians have been vaccinated in Canada and how many Americans have been vaccinated in the U.S. Would you be able to tell David those stats, please?
I can indeed. 61% of eligible Americans are now fully vaccinated, two jabs, whereas 77%, that's 16% more of Canadians over the age of 12, not just adults, over the age of 12 are fully that. So, and yet,
the U.S. State Department have issued an alert to all Americans visiting Canada to be wary and trying to dissuade Americans from crossing the border and visiting Canada.
Absolutely, I completely agree.
Oh, it's so very, how are you gonna get your maple syrup?
I'll have to wait. It's very dangerous up there. You've got elk, you've got hydropower, you've got paper factories. It's a very dangerous place. You're not going to catch me going up there.
You've got elk. Well, I'd like to point out, boys, that I've been invited by the legendary South African golfer Gary Player to come and host an auction for him at the Glen Arbor, New York State
Golf
Club.
You love this. You talk about this all the time.
I've done it for 3-4 years up until COVID, obviously. And they want
me
to come out.
You never visit me. You come all the time. You don't visit.
Nothing. I've asked you to come and see me, but it's too far for you to travel, apparently. I've come 3,000 miles, and you won't come the last 30. But that's another story. But I can't get into the country, Dave. Right now, I can't do this job. They won't let me in. It's impossible as a UK citizen to travel to the States.
I didn't realize that. Are you really?
Yeah, seriously.
Here's another logistical nightmare as well. Yeah. I was speaking to people at MLB International, and they're hoping that Toronto Blue Jays, you know, kind of make the playoffs, so it'd be a good story. But they know it's a logistic nightmare that we still don't know by October, bringing production trucks up and down and whatever, how many games that the Blue Jays would have to play crossing the border, will it set a just like a nightmare planning scenario? Who knows? But in the meantime, we'll worry about that when the time comes. Yes.
Okay. Well, obviously, the Johnny and Josh show is on all your obvious social platforms. So YouTube is back because Eric is back, which means YouTube is back. And obviously, I'm pointing at the bottom of the screen if you are watching us YouTube, because that's where the like buttons are.
Right there. It's not on Pornhub.
Subscribe, link.
But it is on the obvious one. But it's not on Pornhub.
It's on all
family show things.
Family show platforms, absolutely. Okay, talking of families, Eric, trivia. What have you got for me this week?
Well, today's trivia, actually. Jose Abreu, by the way, is very quietly or very noisily has now surpassed 100 RBIs this season, making him now the sixth straight season. But unfortunately, we're not going to count last year because no one got 100 RBIs last year. But he's six seasons of hitting 100 RBIs or more, which is not a bad feat for the White Sox. Since 2014, he's been racking up those numbers. But my question to you is, which of these three players have scored the most RBIs in last decade between 2010 to 20? We're now into the new decade of 2021, but let's rewind the past 10 years from 2010 to 2020.
I hope you're going to read that question again, so I
because I just had to, because I just realized the has scored the most RBIs is actually the wrong pronunciation. Now,
okay,
is it A, Miguel Cabrera?
Yep.
Was it B, Edwin Encarnacion? Or is it C, Albert Pujols? Which of those three players have hit the most RBIs between 2010 and 2020? We're already going to look forward to, like, who's going to hit the most RBIs between 2020 and 2030. Will it be Abreu? Who knows?
Now, I want to ask you a question.
Go on.
Okay. Now, I usually live in Brooklyn, but for the past few weeks, I've been in upstate New York, about 100 miles north of Brooklyn. And every now and then I have some stuff sent up here, and I'm putting something in my lap. I'm going to put something in my lap. Okay. It's a brown box. It's bigger than a bread box. What do you think? Now, if you had to guess, Johnny, I have something in my lap right now. I picked it up from the ground. Now it's in my lap. What do you think I have in this box? Any ideas?
A fez.
Well, no, there's a few options because I've been using David's address for shipping stuff so I can avoid import customs.
Oh, so you might have an idea.
You're admitting to this on a podcast.
You're admitting to this.
Well, I mean, it's not illegal. It's I just the only problem is I have to go to his house and pick it up sometime.
I'm holding in my hand a box right now, Eric. Okay, you want to guess what's in my box?
You gonna open it up live on the show here?
I might open it up. I'll have to describe it though because it's a podcast. They won't be able to see.
Okay.
You want to guess? I'll let you know. I'll tell you. How about I just tell you?
What do you want to guess? It's either a book, a cap, or a jersey.
A book, a cap, or a jersey. Okay. So lucky for me, because like I told you, I'm not at my home right now. I'm upstate. Lucky for me, in trying to keep, you know, things to a minimum up here, things to schlep up and down, carry things. You know, we don't want to have a lot of stuff when you're on, you know, kind of on vacation. You want to keep things light, right? But
right.
No, but instead I get mail. And they say, oh, we have a, my wife says, oh, you got a box here. I'll send it out. Oh, great. I'll send the box. What do I get? What do I have here? Up to the place where I'm on vacation. What I'm holding in my hand, it's a hat. You want to tell us what kind of hat this is, Eric?
That is a 1969 Seattle Pilots cap. Wow. Yes. Now, people say, Seattle Pilots, what the hell is that?
Well, what are the Pilots, Eric? Why don't you tell everybody about it since it's now in my vacation home?
See, I was going to save that for a future podcast.
Oh, okay. Great.
So now not only have you blown Josh's cover, now you've like ruined a future podcast.
That's what I do. I'm here to ruin every plan possible as quickly and as efficiently as I can. That's my job.
All will be explained in the future, before the season's over, of why
you can explain it later. Don't explain it now. I just want everybody to know
that I'm using David's house.
I am schlepping up and down New York's highways and motorways and throughways. Eric's crap that he keeps in his house. I am schlepping his crap. I have to hold it. I have to make sure it's okay. I have to put it in the car. I have to take it out of the car.
Don't crease it. Don't crease it. Whatever you do, right?
Mint condition. Extra work just for Eric.
Okay. I appreciate it. Moving on.
No problem.
Okay. Well, thank God we finally get to the news roundup. That is batter number one. Here it is, because we've got a sound effect. We want to use it. Here's the news roundup. Well, we kick things off. The Yankees' winning streak, the mighty A's, actually not so mighty A's of late, snapped the 13-game win streak of the New York Yankees, which is the longest since, yes, this is how long it goes back, the year of my birth, 1961. It is, ironically, considering how big a win streak it was, only the fifth longest in Yankee history.
Yeah, and what's amazing about that is that it proves once and for all that a not-so-good ball club can put it all together for a short period of time. And that's exactly what the Yankees have done. You think they're as good as 13 straight? You think they're as good as that? No chance. And they've lost three straight. So what comes up must come down, as we know, don't we, Johnny?
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. But what I find extraordinary, to sort of put some perspective on this record, is that 14 games they did once. That's back in 41. 15 games in 60. 16 games in 1926. 18 games in 1953. And their all-time record, 19 games. You've got to go far back as 1947. So no matter how bad a Yankee side this is by comparison to some of the superstar sides that we've certainly experienced in our lifetime, you've got to go back a long way to find a win record around the 13-plus games. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think all it does prove is when you're hot, you're hot. Winning is contagious.
And when you're not, you lose three straight. And look, the Cleveland Indians won 22 straight games in 2070, right? At 17, didn't they? And guess what happened to them?
Yeah. Out,
first round.
Yeah.
They lost to the Yankees. They were actually up 2-0 in that series. And the Yankees came back with Joe Girardi, and a great series win for the Yankees there. And then they decided to fire Joe Girardi. That made a lot of sense, right? So we'll see what happens. You know, right now the Yankees are ahead in the playoffs, but you know, there's a lot of ball clubs, we'll talk about it later, who are chomping at the bit.
Okay, well, moving on, second story of the day. Unless, of course, sorry, Eric, did you have anything to say about the Yankees?
Nope.
No, good, fine. Moving on, Wanda Franco. Talking of streaks, a lot of streaks going on in baseball at the moment. On base, 30 games and counting. They were talking about this kid being a phenom. We waited, I think, far too long to see him come up. In fact, how long did we wait for him this season, guys? I'll tell you how long. He's not even in the top six in the ranking for the Rookie of the Year, because he basically came up too late. I think he's, with the bookies, he's the seventh favorite. to in the AL Rookie of the Year. And I mean, that just breaks my heart.
He's a sleeper. He's a sleeper. And he's the notable thing, 30 games, right?
Yeah.
In a row, he's been on base. Longest on base streaks by players under 21. You ready? Names on that list. You may have heard of a few of them.
Go on.
Frank Robinson.
Wow.
Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
Twice did that, by the way, Mickey Mantle. And Mel Ott, famous New York Giant. Another guy named Arky Vaughn, who I do not know, is on that list. Now, Juan DeFranco is interesting because he was so bad when he came up. You know, he hit that first home run that got everybody's attention. And then he kind of went into the toilet. But lately, he's been on absolute fire. I mean, you get on base 30 straight games, you're up to something. And look, it just goes to show you one more time. I know we love to just, you know, we love to kiss the Rays on this show. Love to kiss them so much. They're so beautiful and wonderful. But, you know, they just keep churning it out. And here they are again.
You know, the really sad thing about this story, guys, is that he didn't get brought up soon enough to have a realistic run at being Rookie of the Year. And let's face it, his performance, particularly of late, would probably earn him and justifiably earn him that title.
You think so?
He will now have played too many games to be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year. So he's never going to win that prize. And that I think, is a bit sad.
Yeah, but sometimes you get Rookie of the Years who win and then you never hear of them again. So sometimes it's a curse.
Well, anyways, Juan DeFranco, he's lost his chance for getting Rookie of the Year this year and next year. By the way, Wayne Gretzky never won Rookie of the Year because he already played.
He turned out okay.
He's all right. He was pretty handy in his day. And but let's go back to the whole getting on base, because now Juan DeFranco is on the verge of surprising Mickey Mantle. He's right now he's on 30.
How about
and
that?
Mickey Mantle's record was 32. So hey, he's in fine company.
And Wander did it sober, which is amazing.
Very true.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Ding.
Okay, well, they've just announced the playoff schedule, boys. So put this down in your diary. The World Series will be starting in the wild card, which of course is the beginning of the playoffs, will be starting in October. That's October the 5th. And World Series game 6 and 7 are down for November the 2nd and 3rd. So if it goes a full 7-game series, we're playing baseball at the beginning of November, which will be a bit weird.
Do you like that or dislike that?
I dislike, but imagine, well, luckily the Twins are not going to be there. Because imagine November in Minnesota.
Yeah.
No roof. Now the Twins won't have a roof. Detroit won't be there. But imagine Boston. Imagine White Sox. Well, let's face
New York, you remember where we had November baseball for the very first time.
Which was 2001, 20 years ago.
2001, 20 years ago. 9/11, November. Well, I remember I was at Yankee Stadium, and the sign said, "Welcome to November baseball." Never forget it. Here we are. We could have it 20 years later. We could have November baseball once again. I don't mind because I feel like it delays winter a little bit.
True, but imagine those White Sox, those go-go White Sox. I mean, the Chicago's no picnic either in November.
No. You can have snow. I would like some snow, playoff snow. That would be fun. It can get very cold in some places. 2013 World Series was very cold.
And I hate to say it, Dave, baseball just isn't a cold sport. I mean, you want baseball, ideally in balmy, warm weather. You don't want to be sitting there all wrapped up in 100 layers. You know, that's fine if you're a Green Bay Packer fan and then you're playing NFL and you're getting into lots of little scrums and getting sweaty and hot together. But that's not baseball, mate. I'm not a fan.
I'm with you. I'll watch baseball in any weather. But yes, preferable to have fall or summer or spring.
Yeah. I also feel for us fantasy baseball fanatics, of which there are many of us out there, you know, our relationships don't survive particularly well anyway during a regular season. When the regular season starts stretching into November, it really puts relationships under pressure. And I think you've got to consider that factor as well.
Well, our relationship has been under pressure. Now, no Josh here. I get to interrupt everybody now and get dirty looks from you guys.
Well, and no one's got any information to counteract your argument either. That's the worst part of it. Anyway.
Oh, baby.
You're loving this, aren't you?
Oh, this is great.
It's freestyle.
I've already put together a small little bit that delayed everything. You think Josh would have put up with that box thing? Never. That thing would. I would have never got that hat out of that box.
Yeah.
Moving on. There goes the bell. Okay. Well, this is one you're going to enjoy, guys. Or maybe not, because we all love him. But I think this may be a question as to whether this is a good decision. But apparently, Miguel Cabrera is going to retire after 2023. So he's looking at another two seasons. And really, the question has to be asked, does Miggy have two more years left in that body? Despite what he's done this season, you can see what he's doing in terms of his batting average. You know, he just isn't the player he was.
He's not. But guess what? He has a contract that runs till 2023. He just needs a seat in a dugout somewhere, which I suspect somebody will give him. I don't know if it'll be the Tigers. We'll have to see. But, you know, we wrote off Pujols. In fact, we thought he was going to be released and out of baseball. And next thing you know, he's with the Dodgers platooning, and he's had a heck of a season when you consider that almost everybody was writing him off after his release from the Angels. So, you know, you could foresee something like that happening with Cabrera, part-time role, only hitting against certain pitchers. Maybe he's useful to someone, but we'll see if the Tigers swallow that contract after this season.
That $30 million a year contract for two more years.
Swallow hard, folks. He does, by the way, he does have 14 home runs. You know, he doesn't have productive baseball numbers. He has a minus 0.2 war. But
the owners said they'd stick with him until he gets 3,000. They love for him to be getting 3,000 hits in the Tiger uniform. He's 39 away from that.
Yeah,
he'll be most likely he won't do that this season. He'll do that next season.
Yes,
and then he'll just be a bench warmer at $30 million a season.
Yeah, I could see them getting rid. They say they'll hold on to him. I don't know. They'll probably hang on to him next year, but I think in 2023 he could be, you know, finding part time work somewhere, or he could wind up in Korea or in Japan, which would be fun.
Yeah, you've got to tip your hat to the man. He's been playing since 2003. And from 2004 onwards, I mean, very rare that he misses more than four or five games. And, you know, I mean, that sort of level of durability. And actually hit 10 home runs last season in only 57 games. And yet 14 home runs in over double that many games this season. So you can see the glory days are over. And probably he's earned the right to be still out there swinging the bat with 3,000 hits just over the horizon.
My worry is that, you know, right now he's, if he retires now, he's retired with a .311 career batting average.
Yeah.
If he continues just dragging his contract out, there could be a worry that his career batting average might dip down to .299. You know, so it's
you don't want that. I think that didn't that happen to Mickey Mantle?
I believe so. Like, he just played a little too long.
He played too long. Let's see.
Well, Mickey and Mantle, you're absolutely right, buddy, because his last two seasons, he's .249 batting average at the moment this season, .250 last season. And prior to that, it was .282, .299. You know, it's been in decline over the last three, 4 years. But having said that, he's batting around the same level. I mean, he could probably get away with one more season at .250. I tell you what, his career on base percentage, that is impressive. .388. What a player. What a player.
He's an amazing player. So, yeah, Mickey Mantle, .298 he wound up hitting. And I know that bothered him. I don't think it bothered anybody else, but it bothered him.
Just dipping below that 300, exactly.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's unfortunate for a guy like him.
But hey, let's face it. I mean, Mickey's good value. He's entertaining. Another 2 years wouldn't be that bad for baseball fans. Moving on.
Not so good for the Tigers, though. Talking of the Tigers, perhaps the new Miggy is on the horizon. That is our dear friend Akil Baddoo. And we're going to do our view to Akil. How's Akil been up to? Is he back from concussion, Eric?
He is back from concussion. And I couldn't think of a clever pun to a view to a concussion. I couldn't think of anything. But since coming back from the Toledo Mud Hens from his rehab assignment from his concussion that he sustained a few weeks ago, he's still not 100% because he's only gone, was it 2 for 18, zero RBIs. He struck out 8 times. He's got benched 2 games in a row. So it's not been a great comeback, but hey, it's we're into August 31st now. It's September. They'll still play him every day if they can, and just let him nurture into the squad.
Hey, Eric, guess what? Baddoo, 22-year-old, only rookie this season, 10-plus homers, 10 steals, and an OPS of at least 800. That puts him in as a dark horse for AL Rookie of the Year.
That's right.
Funny you should mention that, buddy, because he is considered, he's in the sort of top 8.
What are the odds there?
Off the top of my head, no. I think it's about 12 to 1. So, I mean, it's pretty sizable. So I don't think it's going to happen. But the fact that he's getting even mentioned and he's been quoted, you know, and I mean, the sad thing for me, because we all know, Eric, you're a Detroit Tigers fan. And the sad thing for me, I remember you referencing earlier in the season that he was helping them towards, you know, everybody saying, oh, the Tigers are going to be awful. And yet here they are in third place in the AL Central, beating, would you believe it, the Twins and obviously the Royals. But they're a bit off the 500 pace, because you were saying they were batting over 500. They're not now. They're down to 470. Yeah. So it is a shame. I don't think they're going to have a 500 season. But I have to say, the fact that they've beaten the Royals and they're going to beat the Twins, I mean, you know.
Exactly.
That's not a disaster, is it? Let's face it.
And they can only get better with Akil Baddoo. Moving on.
Okay, well, that's batter number one. So who's up next? Who's doing the Aussie Albie's job tonight? Well, I can tell you, it's an opportunity for us to just let David free. Just literally give him his reign and say,
what do you mean, let me free?
Well, you know, sort of, you know, charge off into the and say whatever you want, mate, because I'm gonna say
whatever I want about what?
About the New York Mets, your favorite subject, and we're calling
what about
it
the New York Mets?
It's the thumb war. You've seen
the thumb war.
You see this?
I love the thumb war.
This is what it's Lindor, Baez. Basically, I saw something on Twitter about it. The fact that they're so fed up with being booed because of recent woes that every time they boo, they got booed because they were striking out, etc. So they decided to turn on the fans, and every time they did a hit, they gave the fan, and of course the fans would cheer. They were giving the fans a thumb down to say, "This is how we feel." Now, didn't go down well. Not surprisingly, it's pissed a few people off. They've now
mostly people up top.
Yes, indeed. Well, understandably, management don't think this is the way to win friends and influence. But the reality is that they have made an apology. But it presumably, Dave, is synonymous with the fact that the Mets, who have been on top of the NL East pretty much the whole season, are now woefully off the pace. And things just seem to be going from bad to worse.
Well, that's your opinion. They've now won three in a row because we're recording on Tuesday at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, just an hour or so after they came back from a four-run ninth inning deficit to beat the Miami Marlins. They've now won three in a row. But never mind that, Johnny. What do you think? What do you think of the thumbs down thing? How do you feel about that? Before I go, I'm curious as to what you think about it.
Buddy, I understand the frustration that if you've been winning all season, I mean, they weren't exactly stealing away. They were never much more than about 500, but they were top of the pile against some, you know, sides that were deemed to be good, i.e. the Braves and the Phillies. Yeah. And indeed Washington. A lot of people didn't think Washington would be as bad as they have been this season. Mm-hmm. And that deserves credit. And then things go horribly wrong. And when it, you know, a typical Mets style, when it went wrong, it really went wrong. And before you knew it, they were, I mean, right now they're six games back. But they were 7-8 games back. It really did tank. And, you know, it seems to be a story that's very, very consistent in certainly in Shea Land. And I understand from a fan's perspective that it's frustrating. But I do appreciate how difficult that must be for a player. You know, we've been doing well.
You don't like it when the player gets booed, right, Johnny?
No. I don't have a problem with it. But I have some sympathy with the frustration that the minute it's gone wrong, instead of getting behind your players, you're getting them nothing but grief. I can understand from a player's perspective, guys, we've been top of the table all season. And now, when we really need you more than ever, you're turning on us. Is the solution what they did? No, it is. 100%. You can't do that.
What's the solution?
The solution is perhaps in a press conference to say, look, guys, we know better than anybody that we're stinking the place up right now. But you cannot. You're not behind the scenes. We are working our nuts off. We're giving it everything we've got. But that's the message you want to deliver and say that we need you. We need you to be that extra man. We need you getting behind us, not giving us
time in the bat, extra time in the batting cage. Well, extra ground balls before the game, working so hard.
Okay, well, that's my view, Dave. That's how I think they should have handled it. But I have sympathy with the players at the frustration that they turn on them as soon as things went bad. And that's why I hate to say it, buddy, because I know you're a big Mets fan, but I hate to say it. I think that's why the Mets struggle. It's a big part of it. I do not think their fan base is supportive enough when they're not supportive enough.
So what about booing is a New York thing, by the way. It's not exclusive to the Mets. You know, the Yankees get booed plenty, and they got booed plenty this year. Trust me. because they sucked. Okay. They got booed. It's a New York thing. So don't put it in just the Mets camp.
Okay, fair enough. That's you're educating me.
Number one. Number two, if you don't want to get booed, that's fine. Go to St. Louis, where if you go 0 for 19, you know, they'll buy a drink at the bar. You know, that's not going to happen in New York. So go to St. Louis. Oh, we love you. You're such a great player. We love you. You know, no, that doesn't happen in New York. Okay? You have to perform or it doesn't work. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a booer. I think it's kind of, personally, it's not my style. I think it's kind of like lame, like boo. Like these are talented guys. You know, they're very good at what they do. I respect what they do. I don't boo. I just think it's kind of like lame, like kind of a loser if you boo. Like, why are you booing for? Why don't you just say nothing? It sends the same message for me personally. But I will tell you one thing. The thing you do not do in New York ever is tell fans that they can't boo or get in New York fans' faces about how they don't like when you get booed. Never, ever do that. And number one, and here's number three. I don't want to hear anything from Javier Baez, who came over here. They traded him for a first round draft pick. He came over here and the team went 4-11. I don't want to hear about you influencing your buddy over there, Lindor, who's had a good attitude all year, despite being terrible. He's had a great attitude through all of it. And Baez comes over here and is now convincing his buddy to do this thumbs down nonsense. You are going to do nothing. They get in trouble. Eric, do you remember a guy named Eric Whitson? Remember Whitson?
I do.
Eric Whitson came over to the Yankees and it went, he came from the Padres. He had a good year in 1984. I think he went 14-8. He won a big game in the NLCS. And then he was in a game against the Tigers in the World Series that the Padres actually won. I think their only game they won.
That's right. In the
World Series. Yeah. And then he came over, free agent signing, get this, 5 years for about $4-something million. And always a slow starter, Ed Whitson. He got destroyed in New York. And Ed Whitson had a temper. And, you know, he didn't like the booing. And then he got into it. Never mind that. He got a huge fight with Billy Martin, who was in a ballroom fight after midnight, two nights in a row. And then the Yankees in 86, when they brought him back, he was getting booed so much by they decided that they didn't want to pitch him on the road. They didn't want to pitch him at home. They were so scared to pitch him at home. They said, oh, we're only going to pitch him on the road. That he is the gold standard example of why you should never get upset at being booed. Now, here's a quote about Baez and those guys had a beef. Here's a quote from the Sporting News, Mike Downey. The treatment Whitson gets in New York is crude, and lewd. His own fans treat him like an enemy, like Gaddafi in Pinstripes. All I know is that Ed Whitson is not going to be allowed to pitch in his home ballpark anymore, which is like telling Patrick Ewing he can play any place except Madison Square Garden. Of course, this was 1985 when Patrick Ewing was a rookie. Now, so do not, the golden rule, and the ownership of the Mets said this, Steve Cohen, it's a third rail. Don't touch it. They demanded an apology. They got an apology. Now everybody's trying to make happy. I'm telling you right now, do not ever, ever do that in New York. It will not go well.
And
so
what's
I'm
happened.
Glad they resolved that.
Look what's happened. They came back from bottom of the ninth and went on to win the game. Could this be the beginning of good things for the New York Mets? Moving on.
Okay, batter number three, boys. It's head on the block time. We're talking wild card. It's the last day of August. And I'm going to ask you to answer the following question. Which team, currently not in a wild card position, will end up surprising everyone and squeeze into the playoffs by the last day of the regular season? So let's have a quick look at what's happening in that wild card race. So in the AL, at the moment, it's the Yankees and it's Boston in the wild card position. So the ones in contention still, maybe Oakland, two games back, Toronto 4.5, Seattle 4.5. I think you're going to be really stretching if you're going Cleveland, LA Angels, the 8.5, 9.5 respectively. In the NL, you've got the Dodgers. Obviously, either the Dodgers or Giants are going to win the West and the other one's going to be in the wild card. But who's going to be joining them? At the moment, it's Cincinnati, but they're only a half a game ahead of San Diego, 2.5 ahead of St. Louis, and 3 games ahead of Philadelphia. Stretch it a bit more, 6.5 games to the Mets. What I want is one team that is not in that wild card position right now on the 31st of August that will be in the wild card playoff game. at the end of the regular season. Big Dave, what's your thoughts? Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Toronto because I think they've been much better than their record suggests. And I think that they could get hot. They've scored almost double the amount of runs than they've allowed than anybody else in the American League. So the run differential for the Blue Jays is 118 as of Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Yankees is plus 51.
Yeah.
The A's are plus 61 and Boston are plus 58. Now that Boston is, you know, Boston has been, I think, playing over their heads for most of the year. And now they're starting to settle down a little bit. Oakland is a good team. Oakland is a team that could get in. I like Oakland a lot. I just feel like they have 30 more games and they should be better. I mean, they should be 5 games better than they are, 6 games better than they are. They're 69 and 61. Their Pythagorean is 77 and 53. That makes them one of the most unlucky teams in baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that they could squeeze in if they get hot.
I must admit, I'm sort of erring towards Toronto as well. But since you've gone down that route, I'm going to shout out with one other suggestion. I'm amazed that San Diego aren't in the playoff spot right now. You called it, Eric. You said you thought that the Reds on the back of a Joey Votto inspiration. And you said this about 3-4 weeks ago. And you're absolutely right. It has been Joey leading from the front. And Cincinnati are now in the playoff. But they're only half a game ahead of San Diego. San Diego have gone 3-7 of late. And have struggled, but they've still got a plus 70
all the hype.
Run differential. But at the end of the day, I think they've got everything. And I think once they get over the fact that we're not going to win the West, stop beating yourself up against about the Dodgers and the Giants. Forget that. Yeah. And just focus on this wild card race. They're only a half a game off Cincinnati. Personally, I think they're a better team. From top to bottom, particularly with pitching, I think they're a better team. They've only given up 540 runs so far this season. That compares to 621, 81 more runs given up by the Reds. That's a massive difference. And therefore, for me, the team that isn't in the wild card right now is San Diego, and they will be at the end of the season. What about you, Eric?
Now, the other day, on I believe it was Thursday or Friday, there was one of the beat writers on the Detroit Free Press, he put a very convincing argument, a good case about here's why Detroit could actually squeeze in.
The no. Tigers,
wait. Let me finish.
Yeah,
he wrote this on Friday.
Okay. Right.
And he's laid out this whole.
Does he still have a job?
He laid out all these, these fundamentals of what and schedule and here's what could happen. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, on October 3rd, the last day of the regular season, the Tigers squeeze in. And then this morning, I clicked on the Detroit Free Press, and there's a retraction saying, never mind. things
pretty
are going.
Timely retraction.
But that's the whole point. This whole week, we're now reaching the point where a three-game winning streak, is now tipping the balance. And case in point as well, Johnny mentioned the Cincinnati Reds. They've also lost three in a row, so their lead in the wild cards now just gone down to half a game lead compared to the 3.5 game lead. It's all changed. So I'm still gonna stick with the Cincinnati Reds. All right, so I'm gonna pick somebody that's not currently at this juncture in the playoff race and in the National League, regrettably, because I hate him too, David. I think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to bring out of nowhere.
I knew that was coming.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Cincinnati Reds maintain
so
that
perfect.
Last spot.
Our Cardinals are so wonderful.
And that's what annoys
them.
Me about the Cardinals. Somehow they always find a way. And damn you, St. Louis.
I love the fried ravioli in a Cardinals game.
There's no way that's happening. There's no way that's happening. They've only scored 537 runs so far this season. That's only more than two teams in the whole of the National League. And what are those two teams?
August 31st, how many games behind are they?
Provel cheese.
Well,
in
the wild card, two and a half games.
I love St. Louis so much with that.
Exactly. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm eating humble pie because I like pie. Now,
no, if they should make you eat Provel pizza because it's gross. And that would be an adequate punishment for you.
In the American League, obviously it won't be Detroit, so I will stick to the Oakland A's with my Bay Area World Series.
You love the A's. I knew you were going to pick.
Can I just say, boys, for anybody out there that's going, whoa, but what about the Angels? What about Cleveland? What about Seattle? I remember You remember the great Todd Macklin, who of course was the first pundit on Channel 5 Baseball. I remember coming out with saying, you know, come on, Toto, I know they're down in 6th, 7th, 8th position, but they've only got to get on a run. And I remember the point he always used to make. It's not just that they've got to make up that many games; they've actually got to go past that many teams.
Right. It's get the into team, the number of teams in front of you.
Exactly. Right. And when you've got that many teams in front, he said, it doesn't matter how many games of a winning streak you go on; those teams have got to lose. It's not just you've got to win, that they've right. got to stop winning themselves. And he said, and the more teams in front of you, the less likely it is that all of them are going to lose. And I remember right. thinking, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Very logical. So, yeah, I hate to say it. If you're a Cleveland fan, an Angels fan, a Tigers fan, if you're, I'm going to say it. If you're a Mets fan, a Rockies fan, a Cubs fan, it's over. You're not making the postseason. Really? Yeah.
Even though the Mets have won 3 straight games and came back from a 4-run deficit in the 9th inning on Tuesday against the Marlins, you think that?
Yes, I do. Because they're
we'll
still
see about that Mets magic.
They're still only 4-6 in the last 10, and they're still
Johnny, that's the thumbs down era. That's the past. That's okay. over. We're past that now.
Okay, I'll tell you why, buddy. Because there's only one team in the whole of the National League who've scored less runs than them, and that is Pittsburgh.
That's correct. That's why it would be so incredibly theatric for the Mets offense in the last 30 odd games.
To come alive. Totally. Unlikely.
And make a miracle happen.
Anyways, make a miracle. On that note, because we're going to see on October 3rd who's got the bragging rights and who's going to be very embarrassed with these picks. Moving on.
Thank you, Eric. Right, we're moving into the 7th inning stretch. I'm giving it everything I've got because it's almost midnight here in sunny Bath. Baseball book of the week,
Sleep's
Eric.
Sleep's overrated, what have you got? Johnny. Sleep's overrated.
I know. I've not had a lot of it of late. I'm getting a little bit sleep deprived. What have you got for us, Eric? What baseball book to send me off to sleep tonight?
Baseball book of the week. Well, we've talked about Mets struggles, and no one knows about struggling and the New York Mets more than Dwight Gooden in his book Heat. now with Bob Clapp.
Can you put that book up again on the screen? I want to see. Does they use the Miami Heat? That looks like the Miami Heat logo almost. No, almost. It's not. Yeah. Doesn't have the swirl. Okay, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Moving on. Yes. Dwight Gooden, My Life on and Off the Diamond. Unfortunately, this book actually has a lot about the off the diamond stuff. We all know Dwight Gooden, amazing pitcher for the New York Mets in the 80s, won World Series with the Yankees as well. It's not light reading, by the way. It's not a book that you should be reading to your child at bedtime. There are some very disturbing chapters in there. Of course, it deals a lot with his drug abuse. It deals a lot with his alcohol abuse. It deals a lot with the people he used to hang out with. There was a very disturbing chapter in there about him and Kevin Mitchell. I won't go into details, but it involves a dead cat. And how Kevin Mitchell and Dwight Gooden and a drug-induced fury would end up at Kevin Mitchell's house and a cat got decapitated. Kevin Mitchell denies
the story. So that's a true story? And we always wondered if that was true or not.
That's the thing. Kevin Mitchell was asked about this. It was in Dwight Gooden's Heat, written with Bob Clapich. Was that a true story? The drug-fueled frenzy of killing a cat. And he denies it.
Of course he denies it. He can't say that's true. I ripped a head off a cat. He has to deny that.
By default. Again, not light reading. But the good thing is, yes, there are baseball bits in here as well about his performances. I do recommend it, but but be prepared. It's not a feel good story.
I'm right in saying this. I'm pretty sure you can confirm this, boys. But he post his career, he got arrested on quite a few occasions.
Been in and out of sobriety, unfortunately.
Yeah. And he was incarcerated. He was actually put in jail for 7 months in 2006 for violating his probation. So, it's a bit of a sad side to the story, isn't it?
Tough. Yeah. I mean, we all remember the big story is, of course, that he slept through the parade after winning the 1986 World Series because he got so messed up.
Okay, well, let's move it on. Let's look to the baseball cultural reference this week. What have you got up for us, Eric?
Well, in honor of Ed Asner, who passed away yesterday at the age of 91. Now, I know.
May his memory be a blessing.
Yeah. Of course, I don't think people on this side of the pond here in the United Kingdom grew up with the Mary Tyler Moore Show or Lou Grant. but that's where his name was first mentioned. You know, he made a name for himself as an actor, but of course he's also known as the guy in Up. He is the old man in Up, which is also one of the classic Pixar films. Now, Ed Asner, born in Kansas City, but a huge Dodgers fan. Not just because he lived in Los Angeles all those years, but he was. Did you know that there are, if you go on eBay, you type in Ed Asner baseball, there are so many signed baseballs available, autographed by Ed Asner. Because whenever he went to Dodger Stadium,
why is that?
Whenever he went to Dodger Stadium, people would ask for an autograph, and he'd autograph baseballs. And there's so many Ed Asner signed baseballs. So now that. Now that you know that, maybe you might want to invest in one. He did actually appear in a made-for-TV movie called The Perfect Game in 2000 with Patrick Duffy. That's the only baseball movie that he's been in, but we'll give him his dues. But speaking of the Dodgers, because, you know, we'll say rest in peace, Ed Asner, but this is all about pop culture and how baseball crosses into pop culture, and how pop culture crosses into baseball. And music. Now,
oh god,
you know, now Johnny loves this segment, because I always pick these fine tunes the Los Angeles Dodgers, Don Drysdale, who, you know,
Cy Young,
Cy Young Award winner, World Series winner, part of that powerhouse of the 1960s with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Did you know that he appeared on the Joey Bishop show? Joey Bishop being one of the Rat Pack with Dean Martin and all these other crooners. But
what's a crooner?
A crooner is like a singer, like Bing Crosby was a crooner.
I never heard that before.
But you never heard of
a crooner? It's a type of singer. It's not just any singer. It's that sort of Rat Pack.
Well, I know who Frank Sinatra is, obviously.
Right. Well, he was called a crooner. It was a style of singer.
I never heard that.
Michael Bublé can call a crooner, I guess.
Okay. Who else is a crooner?
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, yeah.
Right. Dean Martin's a crooner?
And now we can also say Don Drysdale. Believe it or not,
Don Drysdale
he sang. He actually released vinyl. But he appeared on the Joey Bishop show, and they did this rendition of High Hopes. Listen to this.
When they all said that the Dodgers was dead, that's when we came to life and charged ahead. In St. Louis, man, it was grim. We would either sink or we'd swim. Out there upon a slim limb. Yes, the future looked dim, but we had. St. Louis heard you some nasty words, then their bats they would drop.
Oops, there goes another batter. Oops, there goes another batter.
Whoa,
oops,
I'm amazed. I actually vaguely like that, Eric. For the first time, you've played some music that was vaguely good.
Oh, you know, so I think it's a clever play on words and using the High Hopes lyrics kind of thing. But not only that, there's that. But let me enlighten you with this one. He also came out with this single in 1963.
Give her sunshine in your smile. Give her pleasure.
Okay, well, that was just... I mean, I thought the other ones were bad. That was awful. I couldn't even hear the lyrics. That was... I lost the will to live. I lost the will to live. That was the most depressing piece of music I've ever heard.
How can you be such
life.
A good pitcher and such a bad singer?
No, come on. Hey, for a pitcher. for a baseball player.
Yeah.
And singing like that, none of you guys can do that. It's not bad.
First of all, I'm a great singer. You have no idea. You've never heard me sing. I'm an amazing singer.
That's okay. We don't want to hear it. Don't hear it.
Have either of you ever won a talent show pretending to be Elvis Presley? No.
Okay. Well, anyways, the point is that Don Drysdale was not only a prolific baseball player for that era, he's also not a bad singer. He actually released vinyl. You know, then what have you guys done? There you go.
Yeah, so did Guy LaFleur.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here.
Yeah, you know. So did Glenn Hoddle. Nobody's exactly got that vinyl
Exactly. So when Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle released Diamond Nights, those people on the other side of the pond in North America, there were two soccer players.
That missed that, the U.S. chart, Diamond Nights.
Exactly. Somehow. And so it just goes to show that there are not many players and of certain sports like that makes a crossover into music.
But for at least
Don Drysdale tried. He wasn't that bad. Don Drysdale tried.
Eric, you need to know what you can do and what you can't do. There's a reason why there's not been a crossover, because they play ball, they don't sing. End of. It was rubbish. Move on.
Okay, well, okay. At the end of the show, you're going to link to one of those two songs. We'll figure out which one later on, okay?
You're going to do a Twitter poll on that?
No, we're going to give you all the time because we're live. Moving on.
Okay, moving on. Trivia answer. You asked a question. You need to repeat it, Eric.
I do. Now, the thing is, we mentioned that Jose Abreu has hit, now surpasses the 100 RBI mark this season. He's hit now six times, not including last year, six seasons in a row where he's hit 100 RBIs or more. But I asked you, which of these players has hit the most RBIs between 2010 and 2020? Was it A, Miguel Cabrera? Or was it B, Edwin Encarnacion? Or was it C, Albert Pujols? Gentlemen, start your engine. So I'm going to go to Johnny first.
Well, given the fact that Miggy's the one in the news, that would be a bit too obvious. Given the one that Albert Pujols is the big superstar, multiple MVP, future Hall of Famer, I'm thinking that's a bit too obvious. So for no logical reason other than it's the least obvious of the three, I'm going with young Edwin Encarnacion.
I'm glad we're talking about Edwin Encarnacion, not Juan Encarnacion, who's about to be incarcerated because he has gotten a little trouble with the law, which we don't have to get into.
Because it's not part of the trivia question, correct?
Because it's not part of the trivia question. We only stick to what we're doing here on the Johnny and Josh show, right?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with
not
Ed.
Very well, but yeah, go on.
Not very well. We stick to the script, David. Come on. Let's go with A.
Miggy
Cabrera.
Okay.
Go to Miggy. Well, you know, my favorite
Mickey
line, which
Smalls.
Is Miggy, don't lose that number.
Miggy, don't lose that number.
Now, the in no particular order, Albert Pujols hit 896 RBIs between.
Well done, Albert. Well done. Very good.
2010, 2020. Edwin Encarnacion hit 890.
That's it. Oh, the way you said it,
exactly.
We were expecting.
I kept you on your toes.
You see what he did? Johnny, did you see what he did there?
I did. And it worked.
He did that.
We were both hanging on his every word, not knowing he'd finished.
And then we didn't know that he finished, and we were still waiting. And then he said that he finished, and that was the gag.
Yeah. Good gag.
But is Miguel the answer? Because he actually hit 918.
But hang on, you never go with the obvious answer.
Why not?
Well, that really upsets me.
I didn't make it. You can't
criticize Eric for that, John.
I can.
Because you feel badly because you got it wrong and you're embarrassed.
He's making me look like an idiot. I can't.
Anyways, Miggy.
The more you look
one.
Like an idiot, the better the ratings on the show. That's what they're telling.
That's what the people want.
Whatever they do.
Okay.
Evaluate our show.
I don't know who they are.
That's what the focus room says.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Eric. We've run out of time. Thank God for that. Moving on. Mailbags. And this was a tweet put up by the British Baseball Clubhouse. Richard Evans posted, congratulations to at Cardiff Baseball, who are the SWWBL champions of 2021, woohoo! Beating at Clay Cutters BB. They beat them 12-0, the shutout boys. Pat Anthony pitched the Merlins to victory and was the MVP. So congratulations.
No mercy rule in that.
Absolutely. League. Congratulations to Pat. And congratulations to Cardiff Baseball. You are the SWWBL champions of 2021. That's the mailbag, guys.
Wait. There's a big shout out here to MLB UK community, by the way. They've organized those MLB meetups at the Home Run House. Unfortunately, Johnny, you were in Spain.
I was.
I was in Slovakia, of all places. David was just David, just doing New York stuff in upstate. But they had at the Home Run House in the Westfield Mall in Stratford, big meetup for all baseball fans. Now that COVID is slightly lifting, these MLB UK meetups are going to be more frequent between now and the World Series.
That'll be great.
So big shout out. Hopefully, Johnny, you and I will be attending one of those.
Should I send a life-size cardboard cutout for you to bring with you on the tube? You can bring it on the tube, and then you can get out of the tube, and you can bring it up into the place, the home run place.
What, of you?
Of me, a large cardboard cutout of me and Josh. And you can put like chicken wings in our mouth.
And we could chuck darts at it. Well, let's put that out to the listenership. If you want a cutout of Big Davey Lengel at your next MLB you community meetup, then let us know. We'll do our best. You can let us know on Facebook on the Johnny and Josh Show or on Twitter at Johnny and Josh. And do get involved, guys. Do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you, and we will give you a mention if you do so. And don't forget, also, in the world of fantasy baseball, we are just about to put out the latest edition, episode 23 of the BHP Behind Home Plate Pod with the legend that is Mr. James Holden. And that Twitter handle is at BHP Pod. And don't forget, also, as part of the Ted Fred Studio, the man at the top, who celebrated a birthday, by the way, just of late. So happy birthday to Nat Coombs, the Nat Coombs Show at the NC Show. Happy birthday to Nat. I think it was about a week ago, was it? About 5 days ago, Eric. You probably know.
He's old.
Just another old white guy complaining about their fantasy team, probably.
I don't think he plays fantasy, buddy.
The NFL fantasy. So.
Yeah. Talking of which, I'm entering my first ever NFL fantasy league, by the way.
Oh, Jesus.
The draft is on Monday.
Oh, boy.
Anybody out there that's into the NFL, please get in touch, because I know
nothing.
Anyway, boys, what are you up to the rest of the till next week? What are you doing? Anything good?
Well, Dave is going back to the big smokes, isn't he, pretty soon?
And I'll be going back. I'll be back in Brooklyn. Hopefully between now and then I'll put on some deodorant, because I really smell.
Yeah.
Really
oh, that's
today.
Thank you for saying that. And don't forget to take those parcels for Eric.
Yes, I'll be schlepping. I have in my hand. I have it right now. You can hear it. This is Eric's stuff. I'll be putting this in my car, taking it out of my car, taking it into my house, putting it in the basement. Lots of extra work.
If anybody is flying from New York to London in the next few weeks, can you swing by David's house and bring it over
and pick up about 50 pounds of crap that I have from Eric for over the past like 6 months?
Memorabilia, thank you very much.
Memorabilia, sorry, I misspoke.
Yes.
So I've got to play us out now, guys, and you're forcing me to choose one of those two pieces of music. Is that
Give
right?
Her Love, or is it the LA Dodgers rendition of High Hopes? You choose, Johnny. I'll let you choose.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you very much for listening in. Thank you to Eric and Big Dave for taking the time to join us. It's 7:07. Now it is the 1st of September. We're moving to a new month of this 2021 year. Do hope you're well. We look forward to having you company on the Johnny and Josh Show next week. And I'm going to play us out with High Hopes that it's a better show next week than it was this week. Enjoy.
Thank you very kindly, Tom. Before we opened in Las Vegas, Mr. Sammy Kahn was very kind and gracious and wrote for us a parody on his hit tune, High Hopes. I should like to now pull out my very dear friends and have them do for you their version of High Hopes. Fellas.
Then came the Yanks like a thunder of tanks when they thought we'd give up. Said no thanks.
They would take us one a row. That's the way the betting would go. Somebody tapped us no show. Guess they sure didn't know that we had prize tips. We had prize tips.
Morris, Maris, and Handel Mandel. They use their bats like a prop.
Oops, there goes another Yankee girl. Oops, there goes another Yankee girl. Oops, there goes another Yankee girl.
Oops, this is your big chance. This could mean your own television show.
In color?
In living color.
You